From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. There is an image from the morning of September 11th, 2001, that's been pushed aside from our collective consciousness. The image of one man falling from the top of the World Trade Center. The picture is awful and terrifying and shockingly beautiful at the same time. The man is plunging headfirst, his arms by his sides, one knee bent forward, black pants, black shoes, a white shirt or jacket. He's captured at a moment of perfect, terrible verticality. He's lined up exactly against the still vertical columns of the Twin Towers. The next day, the photograph was printed in hundreds of newspapers around the world, but soon this picture, along with other images of the estimated 50 to 200 people who jumped from the World Trade Center, those pictures became taboo, considered a kind of violent pornography, and they vanished. Writer Tom Juneau explores what the falling man photograph signifies and why it's become so taboo in an article in the September issue of Esquire magazine. Juneau begins his story, "In the picture, he departs from this earth like an arrow."
There is something almost rebellious in the man's posture, as though once faced with the inevitability of death, he decided to get on with it, as though he were a missile, a spear, bent on attaining his own end. He is 15 seconds past 9:41 a.m. EST, the moment the picture is taken, in the clutches of pure physics, accelerating at a rate of 32 feet per second squared. He will soon be traveling at upwards of 150 miles per hour, and he is upside down. In the picture, he is frozen. In his life outside the frame, he drops and keeps dropping until he disappears.
This image was one of a whole sequence of images of this falling man that the photographer, Richard Drew, with the Associated Press, took that day. And it is striking that the other images tell a very different story. I mean, if there's something that you describe as sort of peaceful in his posture in this picture, in the other images, it's not at all peaceful. It's chaotic and awful.
Well, that was the thing that first drew me to that picture and then to this story. I was shocked by that resignation, by that peace. And when you look at the sequence, you find out that the picture, like most great pictures, tells a very incomplete and beguiling story. I mean, it lies. In the sequence of him falling down, he's just tumbling through the air. How Richard caught that one moment of perfection is beyond me, and I guess the photographer's art.
We're using words like perfection and beauty almost to describe this photograph, but this photograph and other photographs of the people who jumped became immediately taboo. They were published maybe the day after the attacks, but then disappeared, and talking about them or printing them was absolutely forbidden. Why did that happen, do you think?
Because they're horrible. They're almost too horrible to look at. I mean, you flinch, you wince, you look away. But I think that there are some other reasons for it. For one, I think that the picture is right at the public and private place of a man's dying, and I think that some people were afraid to look at it because they felt that there was a violation going on, that you were looking at the most private thing that a man could be doing. I think that the final reason is that the people who died inside the building, there was a fatalism to it. There was nothing that they could do about it. With the people who jumped and who fell, there was an agency in it. People who look at the pictures have to decide whether they would have done the same thing. And I think that that's what makes people so uncomfortable.
Part of what you do is to try to unravel the mystery of who this man is. And this had been partly reported before. A reporter from the Toronto Globe and Mail, right after the attacks, had come to the conclusion that it was a pastry chef at Windows on the World named Norberto Hernandez. That name had circulated in a lot of press accounts. And it's striking that when you go to his family, you find that this was something that had really ripped them apart, the notion that their father, their brother, their husband may have been the man who jumped.
Yeah, Norberto Hernandez's motto was "Together Forever," and that was in reference to his family. There were the people who, when they first saw it, said, yes, that is or could be Norberto. And then there were his wife and his daughters who said that could never be Norberto. not because of the physical characteristics so much as that Norberto would never give up, he would never surrender, he would never abandon them. They looked at this story as an opportunity to clear their father's name of the terrible stain. I do believe that he was misidentified. I don't think that the man in the picture is Norberto Hernandez, and I have talked to a tremendous amount of people from Windows in the World, and not one of them think that the person in the picture is Norberto.
You end up in your story with suspicions, pretty strong suspicions, it sounds like, of who this jumper was. And his name, you think, is Jonathan Briley, who also worked at Windows on the World. His sister and his brother seem to think that it could have been him. Are you convinced that you found the identity of who this man is?
I'm not convinced, and that's really not what the story is all about. The story was trying to find a place where that image, that person, would be accepted. The reason that I wrote the story was to reclaim this man. I think that if you read the story, there is something, I think, terrible to this man's life, really, at the end, being rejected culture-wide. The story, the intention of it, is basically to claim him.
I wonder if you got the sense in writing this story, or even as we have this conversation, that action was prurient and voyeuristic and in some way appealed to our very worst instincts.
Which action?
The action of talking about these people who jumped and examining that in such detail.
See, I just don't see that. I believe that there's something about not talking about it that says that this is a shameful thing. Could I read to you the last paragraph?
Sure.
On September 11th, 2001, a photographer named Richard Drew took a picture of a man falling through the sky, falling through time as well as through space. The picture went all around the world and then disappeared, as if we willed it away. One of the most famous photographs in human history became an unmarked grave, and the man buried inside its frame, the falling man, became the unknown soldier in a war whose end we have not yet seen. Richard Drew's photograph is all we know of him, and yet all we know of him becomes a measure of what we know of ourselves. The picture is his cenotaph, and like the monuments dedicated to the memory of unknown soldiers everywhere, it asks that we look at it and make one simple acknowledgement, that we have known who the falling man is all along. And that's the message of the story. That's what I was trying to get at. That's the space that I was writing towards, that he is us. And the idea of kind of pushing these images away is an unfortunate one.
Well, Tom Juneau, thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks, Melissa.
Writer Tom Juneau's article titled The Falling Man is in the September issue of Esquire magazine.